Good Thursday afternoon. This is Ozarks at Large for June 24th, 2021 on your public radio station, 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas. Concerns about tick-borne disease this hour. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports the Arkansas Department of Health is not surveying tick populations like they did before the pandemic, but they have noticed a new trend in the spreading of tick disease, feral hogs as agents for the ticks. In our second half hour, Timothy Dennis gives us so much live music to look forward to for the next several days, and Leah Uribe with the University of Arkansas Department of Music explores a venerable classic form in new and exciting ways, the string quartet. After Ozarks on Here and Now, a look at the way Americans think about the war on drugs and how it's evolved over the decades. And we get some book suggestions. Here and Now begins at 1 today on KUAF. Arkansas's new cases of COVID-19 number nearly 400. After 485 new cases in Tuesday's reporting, the Arkansas Department of Health counted 389 new cases yesterday. There are three newly recorded deaths from the virus. Active cases increased by a net of 151 during the last 24 hours. Hospitalizations dropped since this time yesterday by six patients. There are 279 Arkansas hospital beds occupied by people with COVID-19 today. Just more than 49% of Arkansans 12 and older are fully immunized, another 9% partially immunized. Arkansas's jobless rate for May shows the same rate as the April report, 4.4%. That's significantly better than the 8.5% in May 2020. Food services showed an employment rise of almost 19%. The hotel segment had a jump of 22.5%. Another candidate is running for Arkansas governor. Democrat Anthony Bland formally launched his campaign yesterday in Hot Springs. The 43-year-old Baptist minister says his core issues are those that will boost education and the economy. Bland previously ran for lieutenant governor in 2018. He joins a crowded field with three other Democrats and two Republicans vying for the governor's mansion so far. There is a heat advisory for much of the Arkansas River Valley this afternoon. High temperatures reaching around 97. Heat index values as high as 105. Northwest Arkansas this afternoon should experience highs in the low 90s. Heat index values near 100. For the region, clear tonight with lows from 75 to 78. This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansans are venturing out into the woods this summer. That's where disease-carrying ticks can lurk. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the Arkansas Department of Health is warning the public to take measures. Jacqueline also talks with a University of Arkansas biologist investigating an emerging tick host, invasive feral swine.
Dr. Laura Rothfeld is state public health veterinarian with the Arkansas Department of Health. Part of her job involves tracking ticks.
So the most common tick that we find in Arkansas is the Lone Star tick. About 95% of the ticks that we collect are actually Lone Star ticks. So they can be a little bit of a brown color. The majority of them have a little white dot on their back, or the females do. So we also see American dog tick. We do see black-legged tick. And then there's a whole variety of many other different species.
And this summer, despite the two-week-long February polar vortex that reached into the deep south, ticks are bad.
Yeah, so I was surprised to see that as well. We all thought that deep freeze would have had an impact, but unfortunately it didn't. I am hearing of increase in ticks as well.
Rothfeld says ticks are not pervasive in Arkansas, but are location-dependent, inhabiting certain forests and fields. Ticks lay thousands of eggs, which hatch as seed ticks, which feed and molt, eventually into eight-legged adults. Ticks perch on tall grasses and shrubs, questing for blood, or in autumn may lurk in leaf duff.
And then they'll grab a hold and they'll crawl around on whatever it is that they caught a hold of. They'll find a good spot that they decide is where their meal should come from. And then they use their mouth parts to burrow into the skin. They've got a little bit of cement that they use to keep them attached in there, and then they will feed for a period of time. It depends on the species of tick and certainly the host activity on how long they'll feed for, but they could feed for a matter of minutes to days.
Engorged ticks drop off to digest their blood meal and to reproduce. And if you find one on you,
you want to use a pair of tweezers to grab a hold of them at the base, right next to the skin, and pull straight up. You don't want to twist or jerk or anything. You're trying to get the entire tick out, including their mouth parts. And like I said earlier, there's cement. And so you have to kind of pull that plug.
Clean the tick bite with soap and water or alcohol and apply antibiotic ointment or cortisone cream.
If you start to develop fever, chills, aches, pains, rashes of any sort, at that point you would probably want to seek your doctor's opinion and have an exam, and they'll probably want to run a tick-borne disease panel test to find out, you know, if you have some elevated levels of antibodies essentially to the tick-borne diseases, then they can go ahead and start proper treatment at that point.
Early testing and treatment with antibiotics may decrease the risk of serious complications from tick-borne illness.
So the most common disease that we see here in Arkansas is called spotted fever rickettsiosis, or formerly known as Rocky Mountain spotted fever. We now know that there's a lot of different rickettsias causing disease. We also see tularemia is a high one. People will call it rabbit fever. Because it can be transmitted other ways outside of ticks, but ticks are the most common way that Arkansans are infected. And then we see in smaller amounts, we see anaplasmosis, babesiosis, and some few cases of Lyme disease as well. And those three are all transmitted by the black-legged tick, which is not commonly found here. And that is why we see lower numbers, whereas the other diseases are transmitted by the Lone Star tick and the dog tick. And we see higher numbers.
Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Arkansas Department of Health no longer accepts ticks submitted by bitten residents for state surveillance purposes. But the agency continues to track tick-borne illness in Arkansas. Over the past decade, cases of spotted fever, rickettsiosis, tularemia, and ehrlichiosis transmitted by the Lone Star tick have doubled in varying increments. 19 cases of Lyme disease have been documented so far.
Arkansas is a huge tick-borne disease state. If you take Lyme disease out, Arkansas is certainly the top four states of all the other tick-borne diseases.
In Arkansas, ticks are mainly spread by white-tailed deer, but Keith Blunt, assistant professor of biology at the University of Arkansas Monticello, who's an entomologist, says a new host threatens to spread many more ticks.
Feral hogs. What role does the feral hog play in this? Because feral hogs can also maintain some fairly high tick densities. The burden can be pretty significant on some of these pigs.
Feral swine, a non-native invasive species, are spreading rapidly in the southeastern U.S. due to high reproduction rates and lack of natural predators. They're documented in every Arkansas county, including on the Ozarks. Blunt and several students are investigating ticks that feed on feral swine in cooperation with USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service agents in the field.
What sort of ticks are there, and eventually what sort of pathogens those ticks are carrying that are on those feral hogs?
The team has processed ticks gathered off feral swine from last summer.
We have already received some positive test results from the ticks that were collected last summer for Rickettsia parkeri, which is a disease, you know, can cause human illness that's milder but very similar to Rocky Mountain spotted fever. We have had a fair number of ticks that have come back positive for Ehrlichia. And so the two primary tick-borne diseases that I anticipate we will find, and I think what we see most often in humans in Arkansas, those two illnesses are ehrlichiosis and Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
And late last winter, the team collected over 100 Ixodes scapularis, or black-legged ticks, known to transmit Lyme disease. Results are pending.
And it was interesting that we continued to find strong numbers of Ixodes scapularis in southeast Arkansas throughout the winter, even after, you know, it was so brutally cold. As soon as it warmed back up, you know, ticks were active again. And so I'm curious to see what the pathogen data looks like.
Blunt, who is sharing data with the Arkansas Department of Health, agrees Arkansas is a high-risk state for ticks.
Just like the Northeast and the Upper Midwest is sort of a bullseye for Lyme and anaplasmosis, Arkansas and, you know, Oklahoma, Missouri, we are the bullseye for Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Ehrlichiosis. Ehrlichia chaffeensis is named chaffeensis for a good reason. It's named after Fort Chaffee.
Dr. Laura Rothfeld urges the public to take extra precautions when venturing into tick territory.
We recommend to, tuck your pants into your socks. You know, you want to give them no way to get into your skin, essentially. So as well as to use EPA approved products such as DEET on your skin and permethrin on your clothing. Spray it on your shoes and socks at the very minimum.
The synthetic chemical insecticide permethrin is similar to the natural extracts from the chrysanthemum flower, pyrethrum, but much more potent. For the chemically averse, lavender, peppermint, citronella, lemongrass, cedar, rose, geranium, and citrus have all been shown to repel ticks. And after any journey in the fields or woods, always conduct tick checks. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention publishes a tick bite tracker. You can find a link to it at ozarksatlarge.com.
KUAF is supported by Penguin Ed's BBQ, open for curbside pickup 7 days a week at the Mission and Crossover location in Fayetteville, and open 7 days a week with dine-in, patio, and curbside pickup at the historic B&B location. PenguinEds.com for menus and more. Support for KUAF comes from the Malco Theaters, offering reserved seating at the Rogers Cinema Grill, Springdale Cinema Grill, and Razorback Cinema Grill and IMAX Theater in Fayetteville. Showtimes, tickets, and information available at malco.com or the Malco app. Support for KUAF comes from the Walmart Museum on the Square in downtown Bentonville. The museum is pleased to announce the return of Live at the Five and Dime, free, family-friendly concerts on the Square Thursdays from 5 to 7 p.m. WalmartMuseum.com for more information.
KUIF's end of fiscal year fundraising month is gathering momentum. We've passed the $25,000 mark on our way to raising $35,000 before the end of June. And we successfully met our first new member Dollar for Dollar Challenge. But we are not finished yet. We're celebrating the 50 years of NPR this month by setting a goal of 50 new members contributing this month. 16 new members have taken us up on that offer. If you've never given before, well, we have another special incentive for you. Christine Hartman of Fayetteville is now offering a dollar-for-dollar match for new members right now. Her challenge, $1,500. If you appreciate the news coverage KUAF provides for you every day of the year, select an amount that you can afford for your first gift, and it will be doubled by Christine, up to $1,500. You can contribute right now at supportkuaf.com.
Details about a notable real estate deal that closed last week at one of Bentonville's busiest intersections. And J.B. Hunt says it will test autonomous trucks in Texas. Those stories are coming your way next on today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. ArkansasStateChamber.com. Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For more than 70 years, Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield has used its knowledge and compassion to create healthcare solutions for individuals and businesses. More information at ArkansasBlueCross.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. First Security, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Arkansas's Forge Institute, which is based in Little Rock, provides a number of workforce development programs and services in the fields of cybersecurity and emerging technology operations. We had CEO Lee Watson in studio recently for a conversation with Roby Brock to discuss the nonprofit's work.
We're a nonprofit organization helping to build Arkansas's workforce in cybersecurity, and we're also running programs in the cyber risk identification and mitigation space.
So people sign up for classes, but you're out recruiting groups of people, I would presume. You're not just waiting on man on the street to say, I think I'll take some cybersecurity courses too.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, when we started the Venture Center, we built this great fintech program with FIS and now the ICBA. We knew that fintech could be a economic development pillar, part of our state strategy. And 3 years ago, we said we could do the same thing in cybersecurity. So the ultimate strategy here is doubling down on education, workforce, economic incentives, just all things cybersecurity. We're starting in workforce.
All right. Tell me a little bit about some of the partnerships that you guys have formed. I know there have been several. We report on them when they come out. Particularly, your latest one is with Axiom. So maybe even specialize a little bit in what you're doing with them.
Yeah. So all of the industry folks are predicting a gap of 3.5 million cybersecurity jobs in the next 12 months. And that affects companies like Axiom, but it affects critical infrastructure, state governments, and a lot of organizations. So Axiom, you know, I think seeing this coming, said we need to get a new generation of talent into the organization. And so we've built a number of different programs to do that. I'll take you through two of them that are sure. that are pretty interesting. But really the purpose here is there's a huge gap and we need more people, we need new people in IT and cybersecurity. When COVID hit, as you know, Arkansas's unemployment rate really skyrocketed.
Right, hit 10% there, yeah.
So in December, we had a hypothesis. Could we take some unemployed Arkansans that did not have a technical background or didn't know anything about cybersecurity, could we turn them into an entry-level IT cyber person? So we partnered with the Department of Commerce and Dr. Childers in there. We built a 7-week program and we had a 62% graduation rate. And so Axiom started hiring folks out of that first cohort.
Okay.
So it proved we can do this and we can move people without those backgrounds into tech jobs. Then once somebody is hired, they need to be further upskilled and get more proficient in cybersecurity defensive kind of tactics. And so we've built a 14-week boot camp program that does that. Now, in traditional IT, a lot of people think once you're trained to do something, you're trained. Cybersecurity is totally different. Our adversaries who are well-financed and highly motivated train all the time on how to break in and disrupt our systems. And as a country, we have not historically trained with that kind of tempo. And so organizations are saying we have to change this workforce right. paradigm, and that's what this boot camp starts to
do. And we've seen some pretty high profile examples of that. Most recently, the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack that was there. We had SolarWinds, I think, at the tail end of 2020. Those are the kinds of things
that had been going on for 2 years before
right.
then.
Yeah, those are the kinds of things you're training people to be preventative against or to be more defensive against for companies and corporations. You think this mm-hmm. is going to be coming down to smaller business level?
Oh, absolutely. Smaller businesses are vendors to larger organizations, and your security is only as good as your weakest link. And a lot of the threat comes in with those smaller vendors. So there's a lot of work to be done, but if Arkansas continues to focus on this as a strategy, then we can recruit more jobs, people can work from home. I think we proved that out, you know, in COVID last year.
Right.
So I think in the next 5, 10, 20 years, this could be a significant economic driver for the state.
The governor, Governor Hutchinson, has pushed for the duration of his term in office a computer science initiative that has had some tremendous success in terms
right.
of growing it at the high school level. I think this past legislative session is now a mandatory high school requirement that you have to get a computer science credit. What more needs to be done in that space to feed this workforce of tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I was actually fortunate to get to be on that second task force. And in addition to computer science, we added cybersecurity and data science. So it's critically important that we introduce students to these new fields early on, but we've got to train the teachers to be able to support it. So one thing we're going to do with the Department of Education this summer is we've built a 5-day training course to teach all high school teachers that are in the computer science program how to do cybersecurity. So that gives us an opportunity to scale this. And again, if we look at federal agencies that are hiring people by the thousands to deal with cybersecurity, or these 3.5 million private sector jobs, we need to build as a state a story that says we are investing K through 16, and from a workforce standpoint, we've got a talent supply coming. You need to bring those jobs to Arkansas.
And that is Lee Watson, the CEO of Arkansas nonprofit Forge Institute. For more, you can check out their website at forge.institute. A 20,000 square foot building at the corner of 8th and Walton in Bentonville sold this week for $3 million. First Horizon Bank of Memphis, that is the successor to Iberia Bank following an acquisition last year, sold the building to Jonesboro developer Haig Brown. The entire building will be renovated, and First Horizon Market President Jamie Vaught says the bank will lease back about 7,000 square feet and continue to operate a full-service banking center at that location. Haig Brown said the property's remaining 13,000 square feet will be available for lease in the coming months. And J.B. Hunt Transport said it's working with Waymo to autonomously move freight in Texas for one of J.B. Hunt's customers. The test run will use Waymo Via. That is the company's autonomous Class 8 truck that's powered by Waymo Driver. It'll haul freight along Interstate 45 between facilities in Houston and Fort Worth. The company says a commercially licensed truck driver and a software technician will be riding in each truck to monitor those operations. For more news, be sure and follow us on the web at nwabusinessjournal.com or on our sister website at talkbusiness.net. I'm Paul Gatling, and that's the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Ahead on our show, Timothy Dennis maps out the live music weekend, and there is music all over the place. He's with us in about 10 minutes. One of the shows he'll discuss is Saturday night's Forest Concert at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville, featuring Trout Fishing in America and Still on the Hill. A few weeks ago, I visited with Kelly and Donna Mulholland of Still on the Hill on their back porch to discuss how their personal and musical lives adapted during the pandemic. Here's a bit from that conversation.
A lot of people were very concerned about the people that were most in need.
Yeah, that was depressing. I mean, we had a house and a roof over our head, but we've for years been involved with Seven Hills Homeless Shelter, and heart went out to those people. And I had learned a technique called needle felting, where you take wool and you punch it into wool and you paint pictures. And so I created this thing called Give Us This Day Our Daily Bird. And every day I would needle felt a bird and put it on Facebook and auction it off silently. And we gave the money to Seven Hills.
They were very popular. She was selling them as fast as she could make them.
It felt
and
good.
I started feeling left out. And there was, the Omni Center was helping a group of young people that call themselves the Mayday Kitchen get off the ground. And wonderful organization, feeding lots of people. And so I thought maybe I could figure out how to help. They needed funds really badly. So I made 26 Ozark picking bows like this one.
It looks like a bow and arrow.
Kind of a Jimmy Driftwood thing. And
Buffy St. Marie was famous for playing the Ozark, the pick and bow.
I think
as well.
I made 26 of them, and and I had a great time doing it. Raised some money to help folks out, and so that felt really, that felt really healing and important to us at first. I mean, we were okay. Our house is paid for. We've tried for years to learn how to live with low overhead. That's the only way a musician can get by this day and age, it seems to us. And so that paid off. You know, we were not all that vulnerable compared to a lot of people, I suppose.
So we needed to figure out how to.
But we did feel an intense craving to perform, and towards the end of summer we started feeling that like we could safely have outdoor concerts on our patio.
And our front porch kind of acts like a parabolic dish, we discovered. So we could just, and part of the criteria was to play songs that are our orphan children songs that we never get to play. So we just had so much fun. And we'd invite different guests. Jack Williams played with us one time.
Walter Schmidt played. And it was a blast. We were having so much fun with that. It got colder and colder. By Halloween, we did a couple right about Halloween, and we had to borrow fire pits from all of our neighbors. And we had the fire pits spread on the patio, you know, so that everybody could be close to a fire.
Yeah. But I think, Kyle, I think what it did this whole year made me just love very small, intimate gatherings. And so remember that movie, you know, Build It and They Will Come? That's kind of, going forward, is like doing little, small concerts on our porch and in the backyard, the front yard, and just kind of let people come to us.
I think we've always known that we enjoy an intimate audience more than a large audience. And the COVID thing has made us realize how important that is to us, and we're not getting any younger. And so we're going to start, you know, focusing more on smaller audiences to a large degree because we like it. And as the pandemic went on and winter approached, I started feeling kind of blue. I think a lot of people were feeling blue. Yeah, gray is a better word, I think. And having trouble getting motivated. But our son had asked me, just about the best thing you can ever dream. Our son, Taylor, asked me, he told me for his birthday, he had wanted me to record an instrumental CD. And how can you say no? So I'd been procrastinating for 40 years on that idea, and I finally decided to undertake that idea, and I'm finished with it as of now, and getting within weeks of unveiling it in some way or another. It's called Out of the Gray, because literally it's an instrumental CD of classical compositions of sorts that I wrote 40 years ago, and it was hard to get myself to go into the studio, which is our home studio. It was just hard to motivate myself to get working, but I'd force myself. And as I proceeded, as a song emerged, I started feeling better.
It took them out of the gray.
It literally dragged me out of this kind of a depression into a much sunnier place.
It's amazing to me that to think Kelly Mulholland, who can, the way I see it, pick up any instrument and make beautiful music from it, would have to be surprised that music would pull you out of the gray. I mean, but I think it speaks to the time we were in. It was so unprecedented.
Yeah, it was. We all had to figure it out for ourselves, how to figure out what time to wake up and what you're going to do with your day. It's so weird
how,
to see.
How not to take 10 naps.
And the calendar being just empty, you know, just nothing on the calendar. What a strange thought that was.
We
kind of got to where that was nice after a while.
right.
Now we're feeling a little overwhelmed seeing our calendar fill up as we speak, but we're trying to keep that from happening too fast, you know.
One of the indulgences that we did during COVID is that we got a canoe that only weighs 40 pounds because we're birders. And one of our things that we want to not fill the calendar up so much so we can go to all the little lakes around and go birding with our lightweight canoe that we can just throw on top of the van.
A new CD, a new attitude towards music, but wait, there's even more.
And then our flea circus, of course, which is, I know people don't believe it, but Don and I are unveiling an actual old-time flea circus.
We'll hear about the Still on the Hill revival
of the Flea Circus on Mondays, Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m. And we'll hear more from Kelly's instrumental CD, Out of the Gray, during that session as well. We talked with Donna and Kelly Mulholland this spring on their back porch in Fayetteville. Just ahead, Timothy Dennis with more music for the weekend and Leah Uribe with the continued influence of string quartets inside her sound perimeter. Before that, let's take a cue from avid birders still on the hill and spend just a moment with birds that I became fascinated with during a brief vacation last month in South Louisiana. Birds recorded during an early morning on Lafayette Street in Old Mandeville, Louisiana, last month. This is Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. KUAF is giving away tickets to the 2021 Spaceberry Music Festival, July 1st through the 3rd, on the farm in Eureka Springs. This three-day festival of music, fireworks, and camping welcomes Talk, One Way Traffic, Monk is King, and more. Winners announced Friday, June 25th during Ozarks at Large. KUAF.com for registration and more information. KUAF is supported by Hendrix College, offering engaged learning by linking classrooms to the world and developing career skills throughout its curriculum. Hendrix graduates pursue medical, law, and other advanced degrees, preparing students to lead lives of accomplishment. Hendrix.edu/connect for more information.
This is Ozarks at Large. I am with Timothy Dennis, who is virtual with me for this session of keeping you up to date with what live music will be available. Timothy, not only are you virtual, you're on vacation.
Well, yeah, I figured I would give our listeners, you know, the vacation feel since I'm coming to you from, you know, my home studio. So, you know, here I am.
Okay. So we're recording this a little bit earlier in the process than we usually do. So the caveat is
that, you know, these shows may be sold out. They may be otherwise canceled. You know, check before you go just to make sure they're still happening, aren't sold out, what have you.
But let's get going. What do we have to look forward to this weekend?
Okay, so let's start with tonight, Thursday night. Mojo's East in Fayetteville, the new Mojo's over off of Mission and Crossover, they're going to have State House Electric on stage tonight.
I like them.
If you fall from very high, like a star that cuts the sky, and I hold your hand, walk you home. And I
they're playing from 7 until 9 tonight at Mojo's East, but they are also playing at the Gravel Bar in Eureka Springs this Saturday at 7 p.m.
So you can catch one or both.
Exactly. Also happening tonight in Fayetteville, George's Majestic Lounge is going to have American Aquarium on stage.
Mm-hmm. When I turn down,
tickets for that show are $25. Gets underway at 8 o'clock tonight. Again, that's at George's in downtown Fayetteville. Moving on to Friday night, Rochelle Bradshaw and Hypnotion are going to be on stage at Prairie Street Live.
That's right, yes.
Shaking off the cold, the season's renewed. Life is ever-changing, each moment's new. Be open, be welcome to being consumed by nature's bloom. And even though it may be slow on the
moving forward, never look back, no. And when this weather's got you down, receive this healing love all around.
Also on stage Friday night, Crazy Neighbor and the Dan Hicks Band. Tickets for that show are $15 at the door. Gets underway at 5 o'clock tomorrow night at Prairie Street Live in Fayetteville. While happening in Fayetteville Friday night, Maxine's Tap Room is going to have their annual Pride Dance Party, with the caveat, obviously, they didn't have one last year.
Right.
It's their first post-COVID event, though, and that gets underway at 8 o'clock. Again, that's at Maxine's Tap Room in Fayetteville. Happening up in Rogers, though, Friday night, a band that you're probably familiar with, probably a lot of people are familiar with, Chicago, is going to be on stage at the Walmart Amp.
One of the very first concerts I ever saw was Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, Barnhill Arena, 1981 or 82.
Waiting for the break of day. Searching for something to say. Flashing lights against the sky. Giving up my clothes by eyes. City Cross Lake of the Blood.
It's billed as Chicago and their greatest hits, which, what would you expect, honestly, from them? It's a rescheduled date from last year. Tickets for the original date will still be honored. But lawn seats, if you don't have tickets already, they start at about $30. And that'll get underway at 7:30 Friday night. Again, that's the Walmart Amp in Rogers. Okay, moving on to Saturday night. George's in Fayetteville is going to have kind of a country rock show with White Lighters, W-I-G-H-T Lighters. Again, they're kind of an Oklahoma-based country rock band. Chris Graber Band is also on the bill. Tickets for that show are $10 advance, $12 Saturday night. Gets underway at about 8 o'clock. Again, that's at George's in Fayetteville. Now, going up to Bentonville for the next Forest Concert Series at Crystal Bridges, Trout Fishing in America are going to be in the forest.
Yeah, that'll be a great show.
Oh, Mr. Chet, just wait and see. Another few thousand years are gonna dig up me. And I'll have all my little treasures near at hand. I see the Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Little dried up Maui Wowie crumbled in a bong. Letter from my honey saying, love you kids so long. Some peanut butter sandwiches that have long returned.
Still on the Hill, also Friends of Ozarks at Large, are opening up that show Saturday night.
Yeah.
Tickets are $12, $10 for members, 18 and under get in for free. That's at 7 o'clock Saturday night at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville. Also happening in Bentonville Saturday night, Sarah Lothan is going to be on the patio at Fred's Hickory Inn.
But I bide my time in the early morning light while you're sleeping in the sun. Oh, it's not fun, it's not fun. I just wanna be by your side. Oh, but how can I when we're so off time? Off time, we're off time. It won't be long till I take off.
That'll get underway at 7 o'clock again. Sarah Lothan, Saturday night, Fred's Hickory Inn in Bentonville. And then Saturday afternoon, actually, Efron White is going to be at Ozark Folkways in Winslow.
That'll be a fun time.
That is also going to be a patio show. He's performing with Lauren Blaine. They're asking for a $10 donation at the door, which will support Efron and Lauren and also Ozark Folkways. And that gets underway at about 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon at Ozark Folkways in Winslow. Beer and Hymns is getting back underway with their in-person events.
Okay.
They're going to have an event Sunday evening at Bike Rack Brewing in Bentonville. They're doing Songs of the 80s this month, and proceeds are going to benefit the organization Pride at Northwest Arkansas Community College.
Excellent.
That's at 5 o'clock Sunday night. Again, that is at Bike Rack Brewing Company in Bentonville. And then let's go ahead and skip ahead briefly to Wednesday, the next patio concert series show at Woodstone North in Fayetteville is going to feature Ed Carr and Stan Diabin.
Oh, and they're both wonderful people and fantastic musicians.
That'll get underway Wednesday night at about 6 p.m. Again, that's at Woodstone North, kind of off of, what is it, Mall Avenue in Fayetteville?
Right, over there.
Yeah. And that'll get us through the next week.
All right, Timothy Dennis joined us virtually, and he's actually on vacation. Because we recorded this a little bit earlier than we usually do, please check on those shows to make sure they're still happening when you're getting ready to go. Timothy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kyle.
This is Leah Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter. A string quartet is a chamber music group that consists of four string musicians, two violin players, one viola player, and a cellist. The string quartet has been perhaps the most recognized chamber ensemble since the 1750s, when classical composer Franz Joseph Haydn started writing for that instrument combination. String quartet also denotes the name of the pieces written for that very same ensemble. Opened our segment today with the Dover Quartet performing excerpts of Joseph Haydn's quartet in B-flat major, Opus 76, No. 4, Sunrise, First Movement. The Dover Quartet has visited Fayetteville several times as principal musicians of the Artosphere Festival Orchestra. One of the most well-known quartets of all times is Kronos. Kronos has been in existence for over 45 years, performing concerts all over the world and expanding the string quartet repertoire through commissions and recordings. Kronos launched in 2016 the 50 for the Future project, a collection of 50 new compositions to guide young performers through contemporary string quartet literature and performance through different levels of complexity and difficulty in new repertoire. From that collection, let us enjoy Laurie Anderson's 2017 quartet, Shutter Island, Third Movement, Airy.
Thank you.
That was the Kronos Quartet performing Laurie Anderson's movement Airy from the piece Shutter Island, commissioned by Kronos for their project 50 for the Future. Some of our listeners may remember Laurie Anderson's visit to Crystal Bridges in 2019 when her song and video Oh Superman were included in the exhibit Men of Steel, Women of Wonder. We close today with a cover of the Commodores song Brick House, performed by the Belmont University Jazz String Quartet, a performance recorded live at Blackbird Studio in Nashville, Tennessee. This recording highlights the closely related character of the four instruments, the full scope of pitch from the high notes of the violin to the low notes of the cello, and effects like strumming, glissandos, pizzicato, and improvisation. I hope you enjoyed our segment dedicated to the string quartet. This is Leah Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter.
Classical music tonight on KUAF, beginning at 8 with Peter Vandegraaff. In his first hour with us tonight, he'll provide Debussy and the first of two concertos for cello composed by Camille Saint-Saëns. That's just in the first hour of classical music tonight. It begins at 8 on 91.3 KUAF and will take you all the way until 5 tomorrow morning. And tomorrow on Morning Edition on KUAF, President Biden will host Afghan leaders at the White House weeks ahead of the complete withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. Will the meeting change the administration's plans to leave after 20 years of war in the Middle East? That's on the next Morning Edition from NPR News from 5 to 9 tomorrow on KUAF. And you can keep up with news from the Ozarks, the entire region, and across Arkansas each weekday morning, including tomorrow morning at 5:30 and 7:30 with newscasts with Antoinette Grajeda.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. Once again, we're joined with Michelle Hannon. She's Executive Director of the Writers' Colony at Derry Hollow. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Pete.
A relatively new series that y'all have started called Words from the Garden. But first, I know that y'all offer scholarships for folks to come and work on the art of writing. What are some of those that y'all are currently offering right now?
Well, actually, we do offer scholarship support that's financial need-based, but we also have three fellowships open right now, and those are merit-based. So there's one open called the Celebrate Maya Project for young writers on social justice issues. There's another one called Dancing in the Rain for writers of young adult and children's literature. And there's a third one open called Real People, Real Struggle, Real Stories, Writing About Mental Illness. The winner of those fellowships receive a 2-week residency at the Writers' Colony at Derry Hollow.
Okay, this Words from the Garden series, how did this come about? It sounds like a real neat partnership with the library there.
Yes, actually, our fellowships have a community outreach component. And so we reached out to the library to see if they wanted to host some of our fellowship recipients. And I was talking to April. She's the director of the library, and we thought, well, why not make it a weekly series? So what we're doing is we're partnering a visiting writer in residence and a local talent. We have lots of Eureka Springs writers that are fabulous. And we pair them together to read in the garden at 4:30 every Wednesday, and that's going to go on all summer long. It's under the tent in the garden. It's a beautiful location, and there's fans. It's really just... it's lovely.
Next Wednesday, June 30th, we've got some writers. Susan Krause, a novelist from Kansas. You described her novels as genre-bending blends of thriller, mystery, and women's fiction. This sounds exciting.
Oh, yes. She's got three novels, Insufficient Evidence, Fall from Grace, and All God's Children. I've read two of them and love them both. They're wonderful. And we've paired her with Jane Elsie, who's from Eureka Springs. And she also has two mysteries that she's written about a group of women set in an Ozark town that's modeled after Eureka Springs.
Okay.
And they're just really fun mysteries.
And that's called the Cardboard Cottage Mystery, correct?
Correct.
Again, Words from the Garden, next one, June 30th, 4:30 p.m. Michelle, thanks so much for letting us know what's going on.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
From Spring Street in Eureka to South School here in Fayetteville, the Community Spotlight and KUAF, Local Matters.
Fifty years ago, NPR was founded and set an ambitious goal for public radio, to bring quality journalism to everyone, period. No strings attached. Decades later, NPR and KUAF are keeping that promise, and that means... we rely on you. Everyone can listen to KUAF. And when you support us by donating, you'll help us keep this 50-year promise to keep public radio for the public for the next 50 years. You can make a one-time gift of $60 or commit to $5 per month and then choose to receive a thank you gift. It's a limited edition Public Radio Nerd T-shirt. Hurry. They're almost all gone now. You can just go to supportkuaf.com, or you can, as some people have done just today, send us a check to KUAF at 9 South School in Fayetteville. That's Fayetteville, Arkansas, zip 72701. Just let us know you want the Public Radio Nerd T-shirt for the one-time gift of $60 or the commitment of $5 a month to become a sustaining member. And if you're a brand new member to KUAF this month, you can, right now actually, you can have your first ever gift to KUAF matched dollar for dollar by Christine Hartman of Fayetteville up to $1,500. That's if you've never contributed to KUAF right now. Pick the amount that fits your plan and go to supportkuaf.com. From all of us at KUAF and Ozarks at Large and from your fellow listeners, thank you very much. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Gateway. 91.3 KUAF is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Contributors to our Thursday program included Jacqueline Froelich, Timothy Dennis, and Leah Uribe. The Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, featuring Paul Gatling, is produced by Stephanie Brock. It is part of our continuing partnership with Talk Business and Politics. There's a new weekend edition on Weekend Ozarks at Large Sunday morning on KUAF. The Community Spotlight is produced by Pete Hartman in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio. You can find out more about us at ozarksatlarge.com. You can listen to us when you want by just subscribing to our free podcast. It's available through all the major podcast distributors. It's also available by following the podcast links at KUAF.com. And you can hear the most recent edition of our show by simply asking your smart speaker to please play Ozarks at Large. Thanks so much for being with us. We will be back with you tomorrow at noon and 7 p.m. Please drink plenty of water. It is hot out there. Get rest when you can. Take care of yourself. Thanks so much for being part of our public radio family. I'm Kyle Kellums from the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Thanks so much.